Good to be with you again. You know, so far I haven't been too nervous about giving a message. Of course, the first one I had kind of batted around in my head and on paper for 2 years before I was ever afforded the opportunity to deliver it. Then the next one was, you know, a couple months or 3 months. Then the next one was a week or so, or we're actually another month or so, and I'm down to this one. I've had a week, and it's made me a little bit nervous, but regardless, it will work out if that's what God wants. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, and we're going to take a look this morning at books in the Bible. Now, not books of the Bible, not Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on, but books that are mentioned in the Bible. The book of the law, books of judgment, and the book of life. So, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity to stand before your people and to speak your word. Heavenly Father, realizing that we're not worthy to speak your word, but just ask that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, that you would help me as I deliver this message, that your will would be done. And Heavenly Father, we understand from your word that your word will always accomplish that which you set forward for it to do. So we just pray that your word would accomplish its will in this congregation this morning. Heavenly Father, help us to learn from your word. Help us to use it in a way that's pleasing to thee. And we'll give you the glory for everything that's accomplished. For it's in your name, Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, so book. The Hebrew word for book is a lot more comprehensive than the word we use today. The word we use today for book, we're usually speaking about a novel or maybe the Bible. We would consider that a book. It's great, big, thick, got lots of pages. So, there's fiction. There's all kinds of books, big books. But the Old Testament or the Hebrew word in ancient times for book really took in everything that was written, was considered a book. Even from a bill of sale all the way up to the scriptures, it was all considered a book. It could have been a will, it could have been a marriage document, it could have been anything. It was all considered a book. And these books or writings in ancient times were at a premium. There weren't a lot of people that could write. Probably even fewer that could read, you know. So there weren't very many people that could do that. So these books were at a premium, especially the larger volumes such as the Old Testament scriptures. You know, the scribes would write and write and write, and there were very few copies. So those copies were really revered by the people. So we want to take a look at four books that are mentioned in Scripture. And the first one is the book of the law. Now, the law was given to Moses. Where? We talked about it this morning. In a certain place, Mount Sinai. The book of the law was given to Moses there. And basically, the Ten Commandments was given to him there, the Decalogue. And that's the core, or the basic form, and the core to the behavior or the way of life of men is in the Ten Commandments. So, but also, there were also other laws that were given to Moses that were later on contained in the book of the law. And so it contained judgments, which stipulated and directed social life, and ordinance, which directed worship. So there were lots of these things. And the Ten Commandments actually, too, was a covenant. The covenant with Israel was outlined in the Ten Commandments. But when Jesus came, what did he do to the Ten Commandments? What did he do to the law? He fulfilled it, didn't he? He fulfilled every single piece of the law, so that what the law was meant to do kind of changes. Now, the law is the law. It's God's word, and it's Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. Get that out of your head. The book of the law is still the book of the law. But what's it for today? Today, it's to show us our state, isn't it? Today, the law shows us that we're sinners, doesn't it? It shows us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Now, Jesus came and kept every single letter of the law. Every single letter of the law Jesus kept. But there's no natural man that's ever lived that can keep the law. Can't keep the law. So if you can't keep the law, then you're a lawbreaker. And the Word of God tells us that. If you break one part of the law, you are a lawbreaker, and therefore you are guilty. And what is the penalty for your guilt? The penalty for your guilt is death, isn't it? Separation from God, the second death. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For as many are as the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So see, we were cursed because of the law. Because we can't keep the law. And if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, then you have to be, you're going to live in the law, or you're going to be judged by the law, and it's something that you don't want. So that's the book of the law. Then there's a second book mentioned, and that is the book with seven seals. The book with seven seals. It's in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And the book with seven seals is the title deed to the earth. That's the deed to the earth. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that... Well, that's not where, am I? It flipped on me. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So there's the book. It's the title deed to the earth. It's written on both sides, front and back, which means it's full. Nothing can be added to it. It's complete. So we've got this book, the book of seven seals. It's the title deed to the earth and all that God promised that he would give Jesus, his son. And it's sealed. It's sealed so no one can read it. And if we look on down through there, there was wailing and sorrow in heaven because they said no one was worthy to open the book except for Jesus. And that is because he is the heir of the heir of God. So it's sealed, and Jesus is the only one worthy to open the book. He's the only one because he's perfect. He was the perfect Son of God, God himself, God the Son. And so he was the only one that was able to open the book. So that's the second book that's mentioned, is the book of with seven seals. And as you know, it's a book of judgment. And all of the world, the judgments of God are going to be poured out onto the world because of this book. And they're all in this book, the book of seven seals. Then there are, the third one is actually more than one book. It's the books of judgment. And this is going to be one of them. The Word of God, the Bible, is going to be one of them. The other is going to be books containing the works or the sins of the unsaved. The books or the sins of the unsaved. In our scripture we read, and the books were opened, see, and they were judged. The dead in Christ were, or the dead were judged out of these books, not the dead in Christ. The dead were judged out of these books. Now, do you think Jesus needs books? Do you think he needs books to remember what everyone's done? Do you think he needs books to remember what I've done or what you've done or what any person on this earth has ever done? No, because Jesus is God, isn't he? And God is what? All-knowing. He knows everything. These books are not for God. These books are for the people who are being judged, because they'll see all their deeds written down in a book, and they won't be able to open their mouth because they'll know they're guilty. Of course, they'll know it. They'll know it without the books. But he doesn't need these books. And this takes place. These books are used, and this takes place at what? The great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment. Now, this judgment is for who? This judgment is for the unsaved. And it has to do a lot with the scripture we read. Those not found are those that are judged out of these books are going to be what? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And it says, and death and hell, or the people who were in, who had died and who were in hell, that death and hell delivered up, they would be judged, every man according to his works. And all those are the works that are written in that book. And they're not going to be able to say a word. The book's going to be brought out, and it's going to be right there in black and white. You did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And it's all going to be true. But now believers aren't going to be judged out of this, out of these books. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. Believers' sins or works that they did before they were saved, they're all forgiven. They're all gone. They're all put away from you as far as the east is from the west. So those are the books of judgment. And the fourth one we want to talk about, I got through those first three pretty quick, didn't I? Well, this next one is going to take up just a little bit more time. And that is the book of life. You know, we sang a song last week. There's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Well, you know, that's not true. That's a nice song, and it has some scriptural aspects to it. But when you get saved, when I got saved 40 years ago in this church, my name wasn't written in heaven at that time. Wasn't written there at that time. Why? The all-knowing God of this universe knew, says we were predestinated, didn't it? He didn't go through and say, well, you know, I think I'll save this guy, but this guy I'm not. That's not what that means. What that means is he knew in his foreknowledge, even before the foundations of the world, who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. He knows that. He knew that. He's the all-knowing God. He knows eternity past. He knows eternity present. And he knows eternity future. There's nothing that's beyond his scope of knowledge. So he knows everything. So he knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved. And he put those names where? In heaven, in the book of life. So your name, if you're saved, was written into the book of life before the foundation of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have some obligation. You have to still have to accept Christ as your Savior. That's your obligation, to accept the free gift. But your name was written there before the foundation of the world. So you were predestinated. So the book of life. Now, the reason I spent some time on saying that is that in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, Moses asked to be blotted out of the book of life. He asked to be blotted out of the book of life. In exchange for God's favor for the people. Now this was, they were at Sinai. He'd been up on the mountain. He had received the Ten Commandments from God. What, remember, they were carved in stone. They were written there. So he's received the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and what's happening? The people have worshipped an idol. They have built a golden calf. They're naked, and they're dancing, and they're doing all these things. They've sinned against God. What we say last week, that worshiping false idols is just a lack of faith, isn't it? So they had this lack of faith. So in his attempt to find favor for the people, Moses asked that his name be blotted out of the book of life. And you think, well, Moses, how did Moses get saved? How did Moses get saved and get his name written in the book of life? The same way everybody in the Old Testament who was saved, the same way you and I do. By faith. Your faith, were saved by grace through faith. All these patriarchs in the Old Testament that it talks about, Abraham was the first one. It says his faith was counted unto him what? As righteousness. So he was written into the Lamb's book of life. Looking forward, see, all these Old Testament people through their faith look forward to the cross. And today we look back at the cross. It all has to go through the cross and through Jesus. So Moses, in exchange, he asked for favor for the people, asked God to be favorable to the people, and asked that his name be taken out of the book of life. But what did God do? He refused. He said the people, the people had to pay for their own sins, that Moses couldn't pay for their sins. So that was in Exodus 32. And all these I'm going to talk about, specific places in the Bible where the book of life is mentioned, that's the first one. The second one is Psalm 68, verse 28. And Moody, I'm going to paraphrase this, but this comes from Moody. It's important to understand, however, that the reference to being blotted out of the book of life does not mean that one can lose his salvation. That's why Moses couldn't be blotted out of the book of life. He couldn't have his name removed from the book of life. Once you're saved, you're saved. You can't get out of there. Now, you can backslide. You can do things that God doesn't want. You can do those things. But you can't be excluded. So, blotted out from the book of life does not mean that one can... Rather, as indicated by the parallelism in this, if you read this verse, it talks about, it says, they may not be recorded with the righteous. There's a parallel verse that goes along, or a parallel idea that goes along with this verse, that says that they may not be recorded with the righteous. So the ones that talks about being blotted out here were never in the book to begin with. Once you're saved, once your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, it can't come out of there. It can't get out of there. How could it get out of there? So it is intended, this may not be recorded with, it is intended to emphasize that such individuals were never recorded in the book of life with the righteous in the first place. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God's all-powerful. Who, if He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, who can take it out of there? Nobody can take it out of there. It's there. So the Lamb's Book of Life. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Daniel chapter 12, the Jewish people who will be rescued out of the Great Tribulation are called those found written in the book, a reference to the heavenly book of life in which the names of the elect are listed. This metaphor is derived from the ancient practice of keeping books with names of the town citizens written in them. See, this language has to do with the language of the time. Keith talks about this all the time, and it makes it much easier to understand what's going on. It says that these people would be found written in the heavenly book of life in which the names of the elect are listed. In ancient times, the cities kept lists of their citizens. Paul was a Roman citizen. His name was on a list somewhere. These people would understand this writing and what it meant. The fact that your name is written in the book of life means that you're a citizen of where? Of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Your name's been written there. You're a citizen of heaven. So, but in Daniel chapter, this is prophecy in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. This, when it mentions the book of life here, it's talking about people who will be rescued, he says, but saved out of the Great Tribulation. There will be people saved out of the Great Tribulation period. And it says that their names also, see, were where? They were written. When were they written? Before the foundation of the world. God knows what's going to happen in the future too. So they will be, so it says the names of the town citizens were written in them. Then the next time it talks about the book of life is in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And I want to read Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Where'd I? Well, got too many bookmarks. There it is. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here's what Wiersbe had to say about this. The Lord cautioned them not to go on rejoicing over their victories, but to rejoice because their names had been written in heaven. The verb means they have been written and they stand written. It is a statement of assurance. As wonderful as their miracles were, the greatest miracle of all is still the salvation of a lost soul. The great word translated written means to inscribe formally and solemnly. It was used for the signing of a will, a marriage document, or a peace treaty, and also for the enrolling of a citizen. The perfect tense in the Greek means it stands written. So it was written. It stands written. It's there. It can't be done away with. So These were men were out preaching the word of God, which is what they were supposed to do. God had given them great power. Power over the spirits. They were amazed that they had power over the spirits, and they came back, they were rejoicing. They were tickled to death of the things that they could do and the things that they were doing. And Jesus said, rejoice not over that, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's still the greatest miracle of all. No matter what miracle you look at, salvation is still the greatest miracle ever. These others aren't too long, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about the book of life in there, and it's used to confirm that the laborers are written in the book of life. That's a way of saying and confirming that they're saved. They were confirmed, and it says that they were saved. And to assure the Philippians that they were saved. So that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, written in heaven is used to describe the church of the firstborn. Who is the church of the firstborn? Believers. Believers are the church of the firstborn. So it's used to say that they are written in heaven. It's used to describe the church. In other words, the church, the true church, is made up of whom? Now, I'm not talking about Bluestone Baptist, because we can have somebody here that's not saved, or I'm not talking about Bell Point Baptist or First Baptist or any other Baptist or any Methodist. It doesn't matter. If your name's on a church roll, a local assembly doesn't mean anything. Church roll can't save you. But the true church, God's church, your name is written in heaven, in the book of life. Your name's written in heaven. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, see, he that overcometh is written in the Lamb's book of life. And it says, well, he that overcometh, what overcomes the world? What makes you an overcomer if you're an overcomer? Even your faith, doesn't it? What overcomes the world? Even our faith. That's what it takes to please God. We talked about that last week. So faith. So even your faith or belief in God, he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess him before the Father. So see, if you're an overcomer, if you had faith, saving faith, and you've been saved, your name's written in there, it says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Won't blot it out. It can't come out. What's it say? But I will confess him before the Father. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So he says, I'm not going to blot your name out, but he says, I'm going to confess you before the Father. The same thing in Revelation 3:5 says the same thing it tells us in Matthew 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And how do you get saved? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So your name has to be written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only way. The only way, of course, now, like we said, now your name's been written there. If you're supposed to be saved, if you're going to be saved, your name's written there. Now, there's no better time to be saved than when? The present. Than right now. Now, I know that the majority of people here are saved. I've been here a long time. I've been coming here for over 40 years. And I've watched a lot of the people here make a public profession of faith. And I know you're saved. But that doesn't mean that everybody is. But if you're in need of a Savior, It's real easy. Believe on Jesus and thou shalt be saved. But there's other things. If God's speaking to you, if there's something on your heart, if there's something you need to do, don't let it sit there. Don't let it sit there. Do what God wants you to do. If Brother Farron will come, we'll have a song of offering.